You're listening to the Texas Standard.
6 years, 300,000 dead, 5 million refugees, and now last night's 59 cruise missile launches by the U.S. What does it add up to? That seems to be the question we're all asking on this Friday, April 7th, 2017, exactly 100 years after the United States entered the war that introduced chemical weapons to the world, vowing that they should never be used again. History has a wicked way of reminding us that there's an inverse relationship between our pride and how the world has changed and how much really has. You're tuned to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Let's remember when this started. The optimism of the Arab Spring across the region, a wave of pro-democratic movements spurred by Twitter and Facebook, a social media revolution, they called it then, remember? If so, the most consequential legacy of that social media flowering appears to be one of the bloodiest, longest-running civil wars since Bosnia became a household word. President Obama realized as much, first drawing that famous red line against Syria's use of chemical weapons, then not following up when it was used in 2013. It's Syria's problem, Washington seemed to say, not one that we can solve. And as recently as the start of this week, President Trump seemed to affirm that, at least in part, saying that the removal of Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad was not an objective. Then came Tuesday's chemical weapons attack, killing more than 80 civilians, more than one in four of them children. Reading from a teleprompter last night, minutes after authorizing the use of ship-launched cruise missiles to attack a Syrian airbase, Mr. Trump said, "No child of God should ever suffer such horror." But after the U.S. attack, what has really changed, and where does this lead? For more on that and how this affects the dialogue at President Trump's meeting today with Chinese President Xi Jinping, we're joined by Jeremy Suri, Professor and Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs at the LBJ School of Public Affairs. Dr. Suri, welcome.
Thank you.
Hans Stockton is Director of the Center for International Studies at the University of St. Thomas. He joins us from Taiwan. Dr. Stockton, welcome.
Pleasure to be with you.
There's a domestic political backdrop that we do need to talk about, but let's put that aside for just a moment. First, strategy versus tactics. I think a lot of people might visualize this as ends versus means. Mr. Trump had to sign off on this action, but we all remember he promised to take the handcuffs off military leaders. Jeremy, if the tactics are cruise missiles, what's the strategy and who's behind it?
Well, that's a good question. It's not clear what the end game is here. It's quite clear that President Trump, like many of us, was deeply moved and horrified by the images of the chemical weapons attack on Tuesday that you described, David. But it's not really clear what the goal is here. He has said, the president has, that he's not in favor of removing Bashar al-Assad. He's also said that he's not in favor of nation building. And he has said that Russia is a partner of ours. But what we have done is attack Russia's close ally, and we have attacked the government that we're claiming we're not going to overthrow. We've also attacked an enemy of ISIS. And the president had said that our strategy in the Middle East was focused on defeating ISIS. So to tell you the truth, I don't think anyone really knows what the president's strategy is. I'm not sure he has one.
Professor Stockton, this must be really interesting for you, especially considering where you are right now in Taiwan, and you have President Xi Jinping meeting with Mr. Trump on the subject of North Korea, which we presume is still high on the agenda. Do last night's Syrian strikes factor into that conversation on North Korea?
Well, President Trump has made repeated bellicose statements with regard to U.S. relations with China as well as North Korea, most recently indicating that the United States would solve North Korea if the Chinese government didn't rein North Korea's nuclear program in. I think the missile strikes in Syria were a very strong signal that Mr. Trump is not just a big hat, no cattle. Having done this in the midst of the summit sends a very clear signal to China that the United States under President Trump is actually willing to take some pretty extreme actions.
But Dr. Suri, whose move is it next? Is it Washington's? Is it Syria's? Is it Moscow's?
Well, I think the problem with an airstrike like this without any clear strategy for the next steps is it puts the ball in the court of the other actors and it makes us the reactor. Notice what happened. Assad did something horrible on Tuesday and we reacted. Now we're waiting to see what they do. Strategy 101 says that you want to be the agenda setter, not the one responding to others. What happens tomorrow if Assad launches another chemical attack? What are we going to do then? Launch more airstrikes? We're going down the same path that we've been down in other wars that we have not wanted to get into. I'm not saying we shouldn't respond with military force, but I am saying that the one lesson of history is that force has to be closely tied to a clear strategy with next steps designed to move the policy issues forward rather than just react to what the bad guys do next.
Professor Stockton, to that point, do you see a clear strategy here?
Well, this is something that's befuddled Asia experts as well as the Chinese and our allies throughout the region. There does not appear to be a strategy, a Trump doctrine, so to speak, with regard to East Asia. So there's a great deal of uncertainty and lack of clarity that Xi Jinping hope certainly to reach clarity on with during the summit in Florida.
Well, let's get to the domestic side of things, if we can. A commander-in-chief he has a great deal of discretion in national defense. But Dr. Suri, what's the authorization for missile attacks on Syria?
It's basically a presidential order. And the argument is, and this grows out of American military and strategic doctrine in the Cold War, mm-hmm. that the President of the United States and the National Security Council have the power to initiate a strike out of self-defense or out of a compelling national interest. But the President does have to report to Congress, and any long-term operation will require congressional authorization. So there will have to be some questions answered to Congress, and I'm sure members of Congress of both parties will be asking many of the same questions we're asking now.
Well, let's follow that doctrine as you describe it. Presumably, any further action against Syria would have to fall under the compelling national interest, a part of that umbrella. And earlier this week, the U.S. position was Assad isn't our target. Then shortly before the missile strikes, the nation's top diplomat, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, seemed to be saying both that there's no role for Assad to continue governing Syria and that there's been no change in U.S. policy. So, Professor Stockton, how do you square that?
That's the million-dollar question. With regard to overall strategy, use of military force, economic sanction, even our own allies in East Asia are wondering about our commitment to the defense burden, coming to their aid in the South China Sea, for example, mm-hmm. But also any unilateral belligerence towards North Korea is a third rail with regard to our relationship with China.
I'm going to throw this in here because it's something that we're hearing a lot from listeners today. This time-tested maxim that when a politician is in trouble, there's nothing like an overseas conflict to distract and rally the people behind the flag. And you can't ignore the fact that there are numerous investigations into the Russian role in elections. Is it unreasonable or cynical to think that changing the subject with 59 cruise missiles could have been part of the calculus, Dr. Suri?
So this is a issue I've studied quite a lot in other presidential administrations, the so-called wag the dog scenario. And generally, it's not right. Now, the Trump administration is a new world we're operating in.
Right, right.
But generally, what we've seen with other presidents, which is what I'm comfortable commenting on, is we've seen that when they feel embattled, when they feel stymied at home, as they always do, foreign policy and toughness in foreign policy always looks more attractive because there are fewer restraints on presidential action, as we saw last night, in foreign policy than there are in domestic policy. And so presidents who feel embattled, presidents who feel stymied, they look to toughness in foreign policy as a way of showing their capabilities. And I think that's part of what we've seen here. But I will say the historical record shows that almost always ends in disaster. Because when you undertake international activity without a firm, clear basis for support at home, you very quickly lose that initial bump that you get. The rally around the flag does not last very long. And in this case, it's particularly problematic for Donald Trump because what we're doing in Syria is intimately connected to Russia as well. And that's one of the sources of controversy.
Really, really complicates things.
Yeah.
Dr. Stockton, how do you see it?
Well, I would agree that there's a near-term bump, but it doesn't last. With regard to being strong vis-a-vis China, there's no way you want to take on a bigger power like that. And so speaking of preemptive strikes, the Trump administration is expected to roll out an executive order in the next day or two with regard to steel and the dumping of steel. And China is one of the leading suspects of that. So you see Mr. Trump taking a strong action, but in this regard, it would be economic sanction.
That's the voice of Hans Stockton. He is director of the Center for International Studies, University of St. Thomas, Houston. He's been speaking with us from Taiwan. And Jeremy Suri, he is professor and chair for leadership in global affairs at the LBJ School of Public Affairs, University of Texas at Austin. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us on the Texas Standard.
Thank you.
A pleasure.